We have the great privilege, don't we, at this time of year to pause and reflect on the true meaning of Christmas. And I want to commend you all today. I don't know if you're all usually regular church attenders or whether this is a once-a-year thing for you. Maybe you've never been to church before. And I want to commend you for taking time out of your busy schedules to be here today and to reflect on the true meaning of Christmas. I thought it was really interesting that the guys chose that as a theme about loneliness and not being alone. And the wonder of the Christmas story, from my perspective, is that the Bible teaches that the God of the universe, the one who is eternally present, there isn't a place in his creation where he isn't present. There's never been a moment in creation when he hasn't been present. Everywhere we are, he is. But we don't often perceive that he is there. We don't often know how near he is to us. And at Christmas, the God of the universe came near in the person of Jesus. And there are some really wonderful Christmas stories that we all remind ourselves of. So we've seen the Nativity today and how Mary and Joseph, in response to something that Caesar ordained that the census should be taken and people travel to their ancestral town, they came from a long way away to Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, not in a hotel, not in the most fancy of houses, not in a king's palace, not even in the local inn, because there was no room in that town at that time, but in the stable of an inn, where he was born amongst animals and laid in a feeding trough. And then we see that the first people who heard about this good news were the shepherds out there on the fields, not the kings, not the emperor, not the most important people in terms of their career, not the religious leaders, but the working class, blue-collar, ordinary folk working out in the fields were the first people to know as the angels came to tell this good news of great joy. And of course, the angels said, "Hark, today in the town of David in Bethlehem, a Saviour has been born to you, who is Christ the Lord." What is a Saviour? A Saviour is somebody who saves. And there's a word used of Jesus, a name given to Jesus in the Old Testament when people were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, to the coming of the Christ, and it was the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And I don't know today if you're one of the people that maybe this drama represented. Maybe you're feeling lonely or alone. Maybe you have recently been bereaved, and I know there are one or two amongst this congregation today. It might be that you have lost friends or lost contact with friends. It might be that your husband or your wife has left you. It might be for any number of reasons that you feel alone. It might even be that you're surrounded by people all of the time, and yet in here, you just feel that you're on your own. You don't feel able to share who you truly are with the people who are all around you. And many, many people fit into those kind of categories. The Bible says that nobody has seen God, but Jesus, who is God, the one and only, who sits at the right hand of the Father, has made him known. And I often think about Jesus because he is so amazing. Let me just say this to you. Some people think Christianity is about going to church, and they think it's about reading a book, or they think it's about singing songs. But Christianity is about a relationship with the God of the universe, who we get to call Father. And to know Jesus, his Son, who died on the cross to take away our sins so that we could be reunited with the God who loves us with an everlasting love. And I sometimes think of it as, you know, at Christmas when you've got kids and you buy them the most amazing presents and you put them in these boxes and you wrap it with wrapping paper and you put the bow around it. And then on Christmas morning, you're so excited because you know that they're going to love what's inside this box. But then they unwrap the box and play with the wrapping paper. And a lot of religion is like that. People unwrap the gift, but instead of valuing the gift and being devoted to what's inside the box, they play with the stuff on the outside. And religion's like that. It's the outside stuff. It's the wrapping paper. It's the scaffolding around the building. It's not the gift inside, but the most beautiful, perfect gift that's ever been given in the whole of human history was the gift of the Lord Jesus. My mum and dad, who are here this morning, hi mum and dad, they bought me my favourite ever present when I was a kid was a bike. And they put it behind some curtains in our conservatory, and we opened all of the rest of our presents, and I was happy with what we had. It was fantastic. But then they drew back the curtains, and there was this bike, and I just cried because this was the most amazing gift that I'd ever been given. Then my mum cried. She cries all the time, don't you, mum? But this was just the most amazing gift. But it pales into insignificance compared to the most amazing gift that's ever been given, the one that I received when I was an 18-year-old young man. The gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, who not only is our constant companion, the one who is with us, but the one who knows us, the one who will never give up on us, the one who will be there right until the end. In fact, in the Bible it says his promise to us who are his children is he will never leave us nor forsake us, and he's going to be with us even till the end of the age. Now it's interesting, I'm going to read a passage from Mark's Gospel up here up on the screen. Which is the passage where the wise men came to find Jesus. Let's just read that together. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. And he called a meeting of the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law, and he asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they said. And then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. And then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem, search carefully for the child. When you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." And after this interview, the wise men went their way. And the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them. It stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house. They saw the child with his mother Mary. And they bowed down and they worshipped him. And then they opened their treasure chests, and they gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Wise men still seek him. That's what one of my Christmas cards said this year. Wise men still seek him. And it's interesting, the question that the wise men asked of Herod when they saw him was, "Where is the King of the Jews? Where is Jesus?" And sometimes that's the question on our hearts, isn't it? When we're going through that difficult time, when we're going through that financial crisis, when we're going through that relationship breakdown, when we feel alone and nobody understands, we say, "God, where are you?" We say, "Where is Jesus in all of this?" Well, in Isaiah, one of the prophets who was looking forward to Jesus coming, he said that he would be a man acquainted with our sorrows. He's the one who left time and eternity, left separation from the human condition and actually entered into our world. He's the one who left eternity and majesty and glory and came down to where we are so that he could live as one of us and live amongst us. Jesus understands the human condition. And so when we say, "Jesus, where are you in this? I'm suffering." He knows what it's like to suffer. "Jesus, I feel alone." He knows what it's like to be alone. "Jesus, you don't understand what I'm going through." Jesus went through so much that we could never understand, even all the way to dying on the cross in our place. And so when at Christmas we know, we hear that word Emmanuel, it means God with us. The responses in this passage are really interesting. Jesus had just been born. The most momentous moment in the whole of human history. If you think about it, when I was a child, when I was 7 years old, there was a fashion at the time for tight trousers, tight jeans, and it's back in fashion today. My sons wear tight trousers, but back in the 80s, when it came around the first time, I squeezed into these jeans to go to school one day, and then it was the PE lesson, and I couldn't get them off. And I had to get the teacher to pull them at one end while I wriggled out of them. I squeezed into these trousers. Today I squeeze into trousers for a different reason. But imagine the God who has no limits squeezing himself down from eternity into time. Squeezing himself down from being everywhere and knowing everything into this one moment in history, this one place in geography, in this stable in Bethlehem as he lay in the manger. He did that for us because he wanted to make a way back to the Father and restore a relationship that was broken, take on the human condition. Herod was offended when he heard that Jesus had been born. Herod wanted nothing to do with him because Herod wanted to be king. And there are lots of people today who believe in Jesus but want to remain king of their life. They don't want this other king interfering with their lives. And the religious leaders, those who really should have known better, the ones who knew the scriptures and knew that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, they, when they found out that the wise men were looking for the Messiah, they could have gone with the wise men to Bethlehem to find him. But did they? No. Because they were indifferent. They just didn't care. Herod was angry. The religious people just didn't care. And there are lots of people in the world who just don't care. But then the wise men, they traveled from afar. And in their hearts, they had worship that just needed to be expressed. And they sought him until they found him. And when they found him, they bowed down and they worshipped him. They brought gold. They bought frankincense. They bought myrrh. The gold represented the fact that Jesus was a king, the God of the universe in human form. The frankincense represented the fact that Jesus was the priest. He was the one who stood in between a holy God and sinful man and in effect became the bridge between us and God, restoring the relationship with the Father. And he was given myrrh, which represented the fact that one day he would die. And he would die on the cross in our place, to take our sin and the punishment we deserve for the things that we have done to offend God. And he died and suffered in our place so that we could go free. Our punishment paid, the relationship with God restored. And in the Bible, it says, in John's Gospel, as many as receive him, he gives the right to become children of God. And on May the 22nd in 1994, I made the decision not to accept religion. I love reading the Bible. I love singing songs of worship and praise to God. I love being with my church family. But all of those things are secondary to the most important thing, which is a relationship with God, made possible because of the birth of Jesus. And so I prayed when I was a young man, and I asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I recognized that he was the king of the Jews, the Messiah, the Christ, the one who could give my life hope, the one who could give meaning and purpose back to me, the one who promised eternal life. Even after this life comes to an end, that there's a life still to be lived in eternity with a Father who loves me. And so I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior when I was 18. And how do you do that? It's by faith. It's not by jumping through lots of religious hoops. It's not by trying really hard to be a good person. It's by saying, I'm not a good person, Jesus. I've got all sorts of faults and all sorts of failings. My life is broken in so many ways, and that's why I need you. So will you come down to where I am? That's the Christmas story. Will you come to where I am? Meet me where I am and change me where I am so I might be with you where you are. And I prayed. And I asked Jesus into my life, and he came and he changed my heart, and he gave me life in fullness, and he gave me the hope of eternal life when this life comes to an end. And I don't want to let this moment pass, just in case there's one person in the room who feels that they would like to do the same this morning. And so can I ask everybody just to close their eyes for a moment? And I'm going to pray a prayer. And it might be as you sat here this morning that you just know. You know that you're not a Christian yet, but you know that you want to be. Or at least you desire to have Jesus in your life. You're not sure about all of the other things. You haven't got all of the T's crossed and the I's dotted. You don't feel like you know enough, you understand enough, but all you do know is you want Jesus in your life. And so I'm going to pray a prayer. And just in case there is one person who would like to do what I did when I was an 18-year-old man and invite Jesus into their lives, I'm going to pray. And I wonder if we could maybe all pray together just so that everybody would feel comfortable doing this. Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, into the world. Thank you that he lived amongst us, that he understands us, and that he came to die on the cross for us. Lord, I want to know you and to love you and to follow you. I ask for forgiveness for my sins. And I ask you for a brand new life. Will you come into my life now and change me from the inside out? I choose today to make you the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. And just while everyone's eyes are still closed, if you were that one person and you prayed and asked Jesus into your life this morning, just as an encouragement to me, would you just raise your hand? Is there anyone in the room? So, Father, I just want to thank you, Lord God, for the glorious truth of the Christmas story, that you left heaven and came to where we are so that we didn't have to be alone, so that we could have the God of the universe as our Father, Jesus as our ever-present friend, the presence of the Holy Spirit filling our lives so that we may walk with you every day of our lives and never be alone. Amen.